Joshua 14, the verse 10 is our text. The words of Caleb, he says, "And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake his word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old." Just to give you a little bit of the background there, Caleb was 40 years of age. He says that on the portion when the Lord sent him. It was under Joshua. He and Joshua were two of the 12 spies. Moses, the man of God, sent them into Canaan to spy out the land. And he was 40 years of age. 40 days they spent in spying out the land. And now the words that he speaks here in our text is 45 years later. It was in the second year that they came out of Egypt that Moses sent them forth to spy out the land. And they wandered for 38 years. He mentions the wanderings there at the end of our text, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. Maybe that's a description of some Christian here today. You're not going on with God, you're just wandering somewhere in the wilderness, as the children of Israel did. They wandered for 38 years. Maybe that could be true of somebody here in this meeting today as well. The other 7 years of the 45 was the 7 years of wars, when they crossed over Jordan, entered into the promised land, before they could take possession of the land and divide it up by inheritance. There was 7 years of fighting, a year longer than the Second World War. So that's the 45 years added to the 40. And Caleb says, "I am this day 85 years of age." We want to think a little about Caleb, what he says here. I want to speak to you for a few minutes on this challenging theme. Why are you still alive today? That's something I've pondered carefully, pondered many times over these last 4 months. And I'd like you to think of that as well with me this morning. Why are you still alive today, the second day of September in the year 2018. I ask you to think of that question carefully. It is a very important question. Can I say to you, make known to you, that not long after I took ill, the Lord brought this text to my attention in my daily readings of the Scriptures. It was one of those verses that jumped off the page. The Lord impressed it upon my heart. It has been a great blessing and a great comfort and a great encouragement to me during those weeks and months of sickness and recovery. These words, men and women, as they were with Caleb, so they are with me today. They are my testimony. The Lord hath kept me alive. Keep in mind, Caleb spoke these words. He spoke them to Joshua. He's talking to his friend of so many years, his colleague, his companion. And as he speaks to Joshua, that is very significant as he utters these words, because remember that of all of the adults who left Egypt, and remember they were numbered from 20 years old and over, of all the adults that left Egypt those many years before, they were the only two. They were the only two that were now still alive. All the other hundreds of thousands of men and women that experienced the Exodus, and remember there were over 600,000 men alone. If you read the book of Exodus, the numbers given down there in chapter 12, look at the beginning and the end of the book of Numbers. That's one of the significances of the book of Numbers, the figures actually given. 600,000 men that could go forth to battle to bear arms, or slightly over 600,000. It was a vast number. But now they were all dead. Another generation had taken their place. That former generation, because of their unbelief, were in their graves. But these two men, Caleb and Joshua, were the only ones still alive. So that adds significance to depth. That's why he says here, "The Lord hath kept me alive." It is very significant, very poignant. There's deep meaning to the words that he utters here in this place. He's thinking of the fact that they're the only two still left of that generation. Sometimes older folk think like that. The people I went to school with, the people that live in my community, the people that I went to work with, I'm the only one left of that generation. Well, that's how Caleb felt when he uttered those words. He and Joshua were the only two that were still alive of that generation, in fulfillment of God's promise that God gave, and it's recorded here in the words of our text today. And now behold. Remember, every time you read a behold in the Bible, it's like a stop sign. Don't be in any hurry. The Lord puts it there to slow us down a little. Sometimes we can be too hasty in our reading of the word. We don't see the things that the Lord wants to bring to our attention. He says, now behold. Here's something of great note, something of great significance. The Lord hath kept me alive. So I say to you again, those words are my testimony. And in fact, men and women, they are your testimony too. The Lord hath kept you alive as well. And I want to speak upon this verse just for a little while. And I want to emphasize to you some lessons taught from it which answer the question for us all, why you're still alive, why you're still here on this earth today. Can I say something to you in the first place about the Lord of life? We're going to think a little about life. The theme of this verse is life, but especially why we're still alive. So we're going to think about the Lord of life. Behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. I want to stress the words "the Lord" to you. Remember, when you read the word "Lord" as it is here in the small capitals, it's the name Jehovah, the sacred name. It's a reminder of his faithfulness, the fact that he's the covenant God. What a theme that is for us on a Sabbath morning as we meet in this house and remember the past week alone and God's goodness to us. So I want to stress the Lord. And what I want to do, men and women, on this first Sabbath morning back in the pulpit again, is to point you to him. Point you to the Lord today. Whatever your circumstances, whatever your situation, what you need to do above all else is to get your eyes upon the Lord himself, the Lord of glory. Lift your eyes from this world. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're having to contend with, whatever you're having to deal with, lift your eyes from this world and get your eyes upon the Lord and his goodness and his mercy to you. The psalmist reminds us those familiar words, his goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our life. And what we need to learn to see, brethren and sisters, is the Lord's hand in everything. The Lord's hand in every detail of your life. What we call his providential dealings, his providential care. And I want to encourage you to do that. You need to keep your eyes on him at all times. But especially, you need to see the Lord's hand in the life that you have. The Lord's hand in the life that you are living. Let me remind you just of some truths about life. Let me remind you today of why you're still alive. For one thing, he gave you life. He is the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Despite what the atheists, the evolutionists want to say, the great denial there is of God, he is the great source of life. Many texts that could be given as a proof of that. Remember way back at the beginning, In creation, in the Garden of Eden, God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Can you imagine God fashioning Adam, taking the dust, the clay, and fashioning him? You know, sometimes when you go to the seaside, maybe over the summer you saw it, those sand artists, and what they can do, it's marvelous what they can actually make out of the sand. Will you think of the Lord forming man from the dust of the ground, and he's lying there upon the ground? But it's only when the Lord breathed into his nostrils the breath of life that man became a living soul. He's the great source of life, men and women. The words of Daniel the prophet to Belshazzar, the wicked king of Babylon, he said he's the God in whose hand your breath is. Just think of that. Every breath, men and women, every breath comes from the hand of God. Paul, preaching on Mars Hill in Athens, he said he gave to all life. Think of the little word all there. Nobody excluded. He gave to all life, breath, all things freely to enjoy. It's in him we live and move and have our being. So I want you to see, men and women, I want to remind you this morning, as you're gathered here, why are you alive? Why are you still alive? Well, remember, first of all, he gave you life. And what a humbling truth that is. He gave you the life that you have. That should cause us today to bow low. Sadly, in society, men puff themselves up. They're so arrogant, so self-conceited. But it should cause us to bow low today before your Maker. Remember, the one who gave life can also take it from you again. Job's words, the Lord gave, well, the Lord can take away as well. So never forget, men and women, every day you rise from your bed, every day you set your feet upon the floor and stand up to go out to the activities of that day, never forget, he gave you life. And he preserves your life as well. That's what Caleb says in the text, the Lord hath kept me alive. He had been through many dangers, but the Lord had preserved him. Caleb could say in the words of Newton's hymn, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. We can all say that. Caleb had been through those years of the wilderness wanderings. Caleb had been through the wars of Canaan. But 45 years later, he was still alive. And why was that? Well, because the Lord had kept him. Because the Lord's hand was on him and the Lord had preserved him. And you and I, brethren and sisters, we're here today. We're here in this meeting for exactly the same reason. Because of his keeping hand, he has kept us alive. As Jeremiah said in the book of the Lamentation, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. There's so many circumstances, I know that for a fact, not just recent circumstances, but looking back over the years, so many circumstances that could have ended my life. And the same for you. Just think of that today. So many situations that you were in could have ended your life a long time ago. But for his mercy, his preserving hand, his faithfulness to you. You may not have come through the circumstances that Caleb did. You may not have come through the circumstances that I have. You may never have had to endure or experience any serious ill health at all. But the fact, men and women, is you're alive today for this simple reason. But for his preserving hand upon you. There's no old saying that you're immortal till your work is done. We believe it to be so. And this text is teaching that great truth. So he gave you life. He preserves life. And there's something else I'll emphasize, and that is that he determined the length of your life. There's a question that's often asked, has God planned how long each of us will live? The simple answer to that, men and women, is yes, he has. And there's not a doubt about it. I don't want to dwell too long upon that question this morning. I'll just give you one text in support of it. Job said, saying, his days are determined. the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. God knows the end from the beginning. Knows the end of your life from the beginning. You will not live a day longer, and you'll not live a day shorter than he has determined. He has foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. Some will say, what of Hezekiah? We're told the Lord added to his days, and added to his days a significant period, 15 years. Well, without going into that too much in detail this morning, I'll say to you, those 15 years were already in the plan and purpose of God. The reality is, men and women, as we think of all of those things, he gave you life, he preserves life, he's determined the length of your life. All of those things remind us of this great fact. He's the Lord of life. And the greatest display of that fact, that he's the Lord of life, was at the tomb in Jerusalem. Whenever he arose again from the dead, death could not keep its prey. Jesus, my Savior. He tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord. He's the Lord of life. And I stress, men and women, he should be Lord of your life today. And I trust that he is. Sits upon the throne of your heart. You give him priority. Give him first place in all things. He should be Lord of your life today, because he is the Lord of life. You wouldn't have a life. You wouldn't have a breath but for him and his goodness to you. Any life that you have this morning, some here have physical life. Well, we all have physical life in the meeting today. But whether you have physical or spiritual life, the fact is he gave it to you. And that, men and women, should be a cause of praise. That should be a cause of worship springing up from your heart in this meeting this morning. Never forget that's why we're here. Some people come to church for other reasons, to show off themselves, to be seen and so forth. Turn the aisle into a catwalk sometimes. Some people come to church for other reasons. But never forget, men and women, the main reason that we're here today is to worship him, to praise him, as we think of the fact that he's the Lord of life, the life he has blessed us with and his bounty. We're here to praise him as our creator, as well as praise him as our savior, the Lord of life. Let me say something to you about the length of life. You look there at the end of the text, Caleb gives his age. Some people, when they get on in years, don't like to tell you what age they are. Caleb doesn't seem to be ashamed or embarrassed about that. He says, I am this day 85 years old. It may have been his birthday when he uttered these words. I say that for the reason that he says, I am this day 85 years old. But one way or another, he's now 85 years of age. Same age as Dr. John Douglas is currently. Caleb lived to a good age. 85. 84 years. And 5 on top of that again. Over the summer, I read several biographies with great blessing and great profit. You know, a striking fact as I read those books, brethren and sisters, was the fact that many of the Lord's servants died young. Didn't live anywhere near the age of what's recorded here of Caleb. John Patton, the missionary to the New Hebrides, he lived to be over 80. But his first wife died at just 19 years of age. Not long after they arrived in the mission field, she caught malaria and succumbed to it. Alfred Buxton, son-in-law of C.T. Studd, the famous missionary, Alfred Buxton was a missionary himself, died in a bombing raid in London during the Second World War, just 48 years of age. Read the life of Henry Steele, an American pastor involved with the Oriental Missionary Society, He died at just 33 of Hodgkin's disease. What a challenge that story is, to see that young man battling that illness and yet giving his all for Christ with every breath that he had. Just finishing off the story of Henry Martin, the missionary to India and to Islam, died at just 31 years of age. So it stresses, many of the Lord's choicest servants died young. Not all live as long as Caleb. And it stresses for us men and women the fact that you don't have long to serve the Lord. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said, "The time is short." And I want to impress that on you today. Whatever age you are, whatever stage of life you're at, the time is limited. The time that you have to serve the Lord, it's only a limited period of time. Do you remember our motto text that we took for this year? John 9 verse 4, "I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work." The night cometh. You don't have long, men and women. The day is quickly passing by. The night is closing down upon us. You don't have long to serve the Lord. That motto text is all the more relevant, certainly all the more relevant to me, in the light of what happened to me back there at the end of April. It's a reminder, men and women, of just how quickly your life can change. Just how quickly your life can end. When I preached on that motto text back at the beginning of January, I did so under the title, "Your Life Will Soon Be Over." Let me remind you of that this morning as we think of the length of your life, whatever it may be. Your life on this earth will very soon be over. And the warning, men and women, is don't trifle. Don't be careless with the life that you have. I want to urge you to give that life to the Lord. As you look out into the future, whatever time the Lord may give you, as a new season is to begin, give your life to the Lord and give it to the Lord in His service. Remember, you can be diverted. That's one of the devil's master plans, to divert you from the Lord's work in whatever way he can. Stop and ask, is that what has happened to you? You can get your priorities wrong, not seeking first the kingdom of God. You can be taken up with this life, taken up with this world, instead of the world to come. You can have your affections set on things below and not on things above. You can grow cold, you can lose your zeal for the work. And I want you to think of those things, men and women, and I plead with you. Live like Paul. Be one of those who wants to spend your life, and be spent as you're here upon this earth for Christ and His service. Ask yourself again that question. Why am I still alive today? You know, there's only one answer. It's not to make money. It's not to make a name for yourself. The only reason you're still alive today is this fact. Your work is not finished. Your work for Christ. That's the only reason why He gives you life and gives you breath. There's still a work to do for the Savior. Do you remember what Moody said to Torrey the first time he met him at Yale University? "You had better get to work for the Lord." And that's what the Lord would say to you today. "You had better get to work for me." He says, "Go work. Go work today. In my vineyard, you've waited long enough. Need to start right away. Get busy for the Lord while you still can and while there's still opportunity." The Lord of life, the length of life. Let me finish with the living of life. Look at the final words there of verse 9, the verse before our text. It says, "Because thou hast wholly followed the Lord." There, men and women, is the secret of Caleb's life. It's recorded 6 times. Take the opportunity to find them all a little later in the afternoon. Here's how Caleb's remembered. Most people, when they think of Caleb, these are the words that come to mind. He was a man that followed after the Lord, and he followed wholly after the Lord. How had he lived those 85 years the Lord had given him? Well, he wasn't half-hearted. He wasn't indifferent. He had been a man that was out and out for God. Other people had discouraged him. Others had discouraged the people, discouraged the congregation. There's reference made to them in the portion before us. They brought up the evil report of the land the Lord had promised to them. But not Caleb. He didn't get drawn into that crowd. Sometimes that happens, you know, there's the murmuring clique in a congregation wants to bring in a bad spirit, and others get sucked in, get drawn in to that crowd. And before long, the whole congregation, as it was in the days of Caleb and Joshua, way back there at Kadesh Barnea, before long, nearly the whole congregation is in that murmuring way of thinking. But he didn't get drawn into that. He was a man that was sold out. He was a man that was fully surrendered to the Lord. Can I remind you this morning, it's one thing to have a long life. It's a great blessing. But it's another thing, men and women, to live that life. And to live it as a full life for the Lord. Jim Elliot, he died at a young age too. Missionary to the Oka Indians of Ecuador in South America. He said, he wrote it in his journal when he was a student at Wheaton, "I pray not for a long life, but for a full life, like thee, Lord Jesus." Will you pray that your prayer? Make that your prayer today. Don't pray for a long life. If God in his will blesses you with that, that'll be something to rejoice over. More important, men and women, to pray for a full life, that you live life to the full for him. You can live many years, and I'm sure that you have met people just like this, lived many years but never did much with their life. Is that true of somebody here? If you look back, Reverend McCrae used to sing that hymn, "Wasted Years." The long life God has given to you, is that the way you spent many of those years? Ask yourself these questions. What is your life? What's it taken up with? How are you living your life today? Who are you living your life for? Paul said, writing to the Philippians, "To me, to live is Christ." For him, from A to Z, from beginning to end, life was Christ. I saw one of those framed sayings once that people buy for their homes, "Live every moment." And I want to urge you to do that, men and women. I'll add to it this morning. Live every moment for him. For him. Here's the way to live life. He's the Lord of life. He's given it to you. The length of life, it's a cause to praise him, however long you've lived. But here's how to live life, men and women. This man sets us the example. Wholly follow the Lord. You read in the Old Testament of some of the kings that they didn't have a perfect heart. What that means is they were half-hearted. They weren't wholehearted in the way that they served the Lord. And I don't want you to be like that either. Here's the example. Caleb's example. Wholly followed the Lord. I'll say this in closing. Verse 11, he says, look at the words carefully. As yet I am as strong this day. Remember, he's 85. "As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. For war, both to go out and to come in." It's not a startling statement, men and women. He says that at 85, he had as good a health as he had many years before. At 85, his health was good. And more than that, he says at 85, He had the same strength, as when he was 40. Now, can ask any of you that can look back that long, any of you here in the meeting today that can look back 45 years, can you say the same? Your strength is as good today as it was 45 years ago. But how was he using that strength, men and women? How had he used it all those years? The good health God had given to him, even to old age. How was he using it? Well, the answer is in the Lord's work. To follow Christ with all his heart. And I say to you today, what an example he sets. So I encourage you, live as Caleb lived. Use your health. Never lose sight of the wonder, the blessing of having a reasonable amount of health and strength. But use that health, brethren and sisters, as Caleb did, to climb mountains, to fight giants, to possess the land for God, to seek to do something. And remember, even in old age, an old man of 85, to seek to do something for the Lord. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. I pray the Lord will bless his word, write it on your heart, encourage you from it today, even into greater service for Christ.